This is No Sleep Just Sports Radio.
What up, everybody? This is No Sleep Just Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Stevens. Got a couple interesting topics I want to talk about today. Definitely going to jump into the Eastern and Western Conference Finals just a little bit, because I want to talk about Chad Kelly getting the job today, and I definitely want to talk about those bombs Magic dropped on us earlier. So just stay tuned. No Sleep Just Sports Radio. And so we're going to get into the Western Conference Finals a little bit. Looks like the Warriors probably going to get this sweep. Dan came out that Dame's playing with some separated ribs, so it kind of explains a little bit on why he's looked the way he's looked. He's definitely hasn't been the same this series. Everybody kind of anointed him after that big series winner. And don't get me wrong, he deserves all the praise that he got, but he also deserves all the criticism that he's been getting simply because he just hasn't been playing well at all this series. Don't get me wrong, I understand the cracked ribs, but what about before that? He wasn't really necessarily playing well before that. So I definitely understand the criticism that he's been getting this series. Another thing I want to point out is you're a big at halftime, and you can't capitalize on that, which I think is a sign, just another sign of this team not being here before, not really knowing how to keep, how to throw that knockout punch, how to keep their foot on the neck of their opponent. I didn't really like what I saw from them down the stretch of that game. Don't get me wrong, all credit to the Warriors. They came out, played great defensively. They only allowed 33 points in that second half, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, Draymond's playing at an all-time level right now. I mean, that game was just flat-out ridiculous. I'm looking at his numbers right now. He finished with, 20 points, 13 boards, and 12 assists. 4 steals and a block, only 2 turnovers. Like, that was just, it was probably the best game I've ever seen Draymond play. The way he attacked the basket just relentlessly, knowing that Portland doesn't really have anybody that can stop him from getting to the basket if he just goes hard to the basket, you know? So it was definitely, it was fun to watch, man. He was intense. He was being a leader on both ends of the court, off the court. He was encouraging the young guys to, not the young guys, but the guys on the bench to definitely come out and be effective, you know, be themselves. And it was great to watch, man. I've never seen anything like that from Draymond. And he had a quote that said he thinks he's the best defensive player ever. I actually wrote a piece about that on BlueManHoop.com. Go ahead and check that out. But I can't really give him that title yet. But what I saw from him the other night was an all-time game. Like, that was one of the best games I've ever seen from anybody. And don't get me wrong, I mean, it's a 20-point, 13 boards and 12 assists triple-double. Those aren't necessarily... We've seen bigger triple doubles than that, but the impact he had on the game just overall was magnificent and can't be understated at all. Steph had another good game with 36 points. I don't think he's had a game under 34 or 35 points this series. He's just been balling out all series. Portland can't really do anything with him. They can't really figure out what to do with him. They switched up the defense from the first game, which was horrible. And they still haven't really been able to capitalize on the adjustments that they've made. So it's been fun to watch Steph work, definitely. It's the element of KD not being there. It's just the Warriors look like they're moving the ball more. It's back to old Warriors basketball, and it looks like they're having fun. like I said, I don't want to talk too much about this series because I kind of just feel like the Warriors are going to sweep. Dame playing with those separated ribs definitely probably has an impact on this series. CJ McCollum hasn't necessarily been himself this series. The Blazers just haven't been themselves as a team. And you got to give a lot of credit to the Warriors for that. And I think you got to give some credit to the fact that they haven't been here before. A lot of these, I don't think anybody besides Cantor has ever played this many games in a season. So it's just, you can tell it's been really tough on them. It looks like a fatigue is setting in a little bit. And it's going to be fun to see this team going forward in the next couple of years. But I think they're toast for this series. And, I mean, they're being outplayed, outcoached. They're just there. outworked on the floor. Like, I'm just, I haven't seen anything this series to tell me that they aren't going to get swept, you know? So I definitely think they're going to get swept next game. Shout out to them for having a great season, regardless of what happens next game. But I honestly think it's over for them. And next, I want to talk about the Eastern Conference Finals a little bit. Just honestly, man, this series has been a little boring. Milwaukee pretty much won the first two games pretty decidedly. And then the second game, it's probably the most boring two overtime game that I have ever seen. I couldn't get into it. Greek Freak had a horrible game. It looks like he only had 16 points. Well, I shouldn't say he had a horrible game. That's actually not true at all. He only had 12 points. He shot 5 of 16, 8 turnovers. So I should say offensively, he didn't really have a good game at all. I mean, 8 turnovers, 12 points, that's just not going to really cut it. He had more turnovers than assists. He had 7 assists. But he had 23 boards, which I think helped his team a lot down the stretch. He actually fouled out and wasn't there for, I think, most or all of the second overtime. But he fouled out and just wasn't there down the stretch. But, I mean, 23 boards, he definitely helped his team down the stretch. But, I mean, I'm looking at Chris Middleton's stats as well. Chris Middleton had a horrible game as well. He hasn't really had the best series. But I'm looking at his stats. He only had 9 points, 3 of 16 shooting, which is just horrible. I never expected Brook Lopez to have the game one he had. He hasn't had a game like that since. I don't expect another one for him from him. I didn't really like the intensity that the Bucks played with. I feel like they kind of thought it was in the bag a little bit. And I mean, I'm not to say that like I'm in those guys' heads or anything like that, but that's what it looked like on the court to me, that they didn't have that same intensity that they did at home. And you definitely got to come with that in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, don't get me wrong, you won those two games decidedly at home, but this is the Raptors. They are in the Eastern Conference Finals. They do have Kawhi. They're not just going to lay down. So I definitely felt like, I mean, and they haven't been here before, so it's something that they're learning. You can definitely tell in some of these games down the playoff stretch that Freak is kind of learning how to win. He's learning how to be the player that that he's becoming. He's learning how to do these things. So I definitely think that has a little bit to do with it. But you can't take anything away from what the Raptors did. I mean, they played their asses off last game. I'm still really disappointed in Kyle Lowry. Other than that first game, which they wasted because they lost. I mean, you know, other than that first game that he had, which was really good, he hasn't done much at all these entire playoffs. I mean, 11 points, 4 boards, 5 assists. That's not going to cut it, man. Like, you are supposed to be the second fiddle on this team. You're supposed to be the second guy. And he isn't stepping up at all. And it's just been, it's something that's been a recurring problem in his career. And it's something that it may never go away. And it may be what he actually winds up being known for, is being the all-star that never showed up in the playoffs. So hopefully he can get it right, man, and turn it around. But I've been really disappointed for him. Kawhi did his normal 36, 9 boards, 5 assists. I'm still not liking what I'm seeing from Nick Nurse, though. The plan is still give the ball to Kawhi, have him dribble a lot. If he gets double teamed, he'll pass. But if not, then he's going to find a shot. And don't get me wrong, it's been working. Kawhi has been finding good shots, obviously. I mean, he's at 36 points. But at the same time, it doesn't empower anybody else to really be ready down the stretch when you need them. Don't get me wrong, you're going to have some guys that hit big shots. Danny Green hit a big shot. His only shot of the game was a huge shot. Van Vliet had a pretty big shot down the stretch. His only shot, another 3-pointer. But I'm not liking the scheme that I'm seeing at all from them offensively. And, I mean, when you look at Siakam's numbers, okay, 25 points, 11 boards, 3 assists. Looks like he had a really good game. But when you watch the game, I feel like his impact on the game was minimal. And I mean, he had a chance to actually end this game in regulation. He would have put him up 4 with, I think, about under a minute for sure. And it looked like the moment was a little big for him. He missed both the free throws. And those are huge free throws. And again, he hasn't really been in a situation where his play was the end all be all. You know, his play was going to determine the game. But at the same time, you got to knock those down, man. Like, you got to knock those free throws down. And like I said, I haven't really been excited from what I've seen from the Raptors this series. I still think they're done, honestly. I mean, it took two overtimes to win a game where the Greek Freak shot 5 of 16, Middleton shot 3 of 16, Bledsoe shot 3 of 16, Mirotić was 3 of 11, Brogdon was 8 of 17, which isn't really that bad. I mean, Hill and Brogdon were the best performers points-wise. They had 24 for Hill and 20 for Brogdon. And so it took two overtimes to win a game like that. I mean, all Greek Freak has to do is have 18 points, you know, more of a 18 points, 20 points. Like, if he has a better game offensively, it works better for everybody else. They can't leave the shooters like that and things like that. The things that you can do to Freak when he isn't, when those guys aren't knocking shots down. So I wasn't impressed with the Raptors' performance. I've been impressed with Kawhi all playoffs, don't get me wrong. But I was not impressed with the Raptors' performance, and it's unfortunate that Nick Nurse isn't doing more to help his team out offensively. You don't have offensive superstars like that. You know, you got Kyle Lowry, who's a really good offensive player, a good defender, but you got Kawhi, who is an offensive juggernaut from what I've seen these playoffs, a defensive all-time defender, you know. But you don't really have anybody else who can go get their own bucket after Kawhi. And that means you have to scheme buckets for these guys. And he just hasn't been doing it. And I've been underwhelmed with what I've seen from him these playoffs. Hey everybody, Jeff from NSJS Radio here, and I'm here to tell you that if you're looking for the latest and greatest in tennis shoes, you need to go to iShop11.com. That's right, iShop11.com. They're going to have the latest and greatest in tennis shoes for you and some exclusive fits. Go to iShop11.com. You can also follow them on Instagram at iShop11. You want to spell that out, iShopELEVEN, iShop11.com. Tell them Jeff from No Sleep, Just Sports Radio sent you. And next, I want to talk a little bit about football. Nothing on the field, just a little bit off the field. So I want to talk about Chad Kelly getting signed to the Colts. So for those of you who don't know, Chad Kelly's Ole Miss quarterback has some troubles off the field, high school and college. got drafted by the Broncos. And last year in October, he actually he didn't break into the people's home from what I read in the story. He walked into an unlocked door. To some people's home he didn't know, sat on their couch next to a woman holding the couple's newborn child, and just started mumbling incoherently. Obviously, probably high on something or whatever the case may be. But the couple beat him up a little bit with a vacuum or something like that, they said, and made him leave. And they reported it. He was found about a block away in his SUV, matched the description that the couple gave and all that good stuff. And so guy has multiple offenses just throughout his career. And he's obviously shown to have some serious issues, yet he keeps getting jobs. And this is what bothers me. When we start talking about Kaepernick and stuff like that, how is it that Kaepernick is a threat to the league, a threat to your team, a threat to PR and things like that? But signing a guy like this isn't. Signing a guy like Reuben Foster isn't. Signing guys who have like serious domestic, Greg Hardy, serious domestic violence problems aren't. Even Terrell Suggs. You look at what Terrell Suggs did. I don't have his story right in front of me, but if you go read that story, man, he did some horrible shit to that lady. And to see guys like this get a job, Chad Kelly, and to see Kaepernick still be banned is, it's one of the reasons that I'm a little bit turned off from the NFL. It's just the blatant disregard for the diversity of their league. Because I can't really necessarily call it racism all the time. Don't get me wrong. There's some racist elements to it, but when I talk about racism, I'm talking about like putting black people in the ghetto, and you know, like I'm talking about structural racism that you just can't possess in a sports league necessarily. But there are racist elements to what are going on, and I just it's just a turnoff for me personally, because you have leagues like the NBA who actually embrace their diversity, and they know their audience, and they definitely cater more to the diversity of their league. They have the special Chinese New Year games. They have the jerseys that the Spanish jerseys and things like that. They do things during Black History Month and things like that. They allow the Heat and those guys to do their Trayvon Martin tribute and things like that. They embrace their diversity. They embrace who their players are. As opposed to the NFL, it's like you're going to be a good old boy or you're going to get the hell up out of here. And that shit just don't sit well with me, man. With any job, you know, you're either going to be the good old boy or you're going to get up out of here. And it's like... when you're such a public figure, like an NFL quarterback or just a player in the NFL period, when you're such a public figure and people want to talk to you and things like that, they tell you you can't express yourself. Even though nobody was talking to Kaepernick, he just felt like he was expressing himself. He didn't hurt anybody. He doesn't have any domestic violence charges. He doesn't have any charges, like, period, that I know about. He's overall, from all accounts, a really good, genuine guy. And he can't get an opportunity for expressing himself. But guys like I said, guys like Chad Kelly continue to get chances. Guys that actually have problems continue to get chances. Black, white, or brown. I don't necessarily want to make this a complete race issue or a complete black and white issue. But black, white, or brown, they just... The NFL, like I said, man, I just feel like they don't embrace the diversity of their league. I mean, you got a lot of different ethnicities in the NFL. And I mean, talking about black, white, you got Hispanic people, all different types of Hispanic, Spanish people. So like I said, man, they just don't really embrace the diversity of the NFL. Of their league. The NFL is more like the NFL... more shows of what America is today, and the NBA I feel like is more of what America should be, in my opinion. Of course, everybody's gonna have their different political views. I don't want to make this a whole political thing, but I just feel like the NBA does a lot better job of embracing their diversity as opposed to the NFL. The NFL just seems to, like I said, it seems like a good old boys club. If you don't get in line, you're out of here. I mean, even like things like when they drafted Cam Newton, he told him he wanted him to keep his hair low. He didn't want him to have tattoos. Like who are you to, you know, to say that? Like, just because I work for you doesn't mean you can say things. You can tell me what I can and can't do with my appearance. As long as I don't have like fuck you tatted on my face or anything like that, then why is it a problem at all what I have? And it's just like, again, they don't embrace the diversity of their league. They have they got the biggest product in America, and they just refuse to embrace the diversity of their league. And I mean, partly because it's working. I mean, it's working for them. Their audience is actually a little different from the NBA's audience. Their audience is more of a, for lack of a better term, Make America Great Again audience. Don't get me wrong. Not everybody who watches football shares those views. But their audience overall is more of that type of audience. And where's the line between catering to your audience and being blatantly, how do I say this? Being blatantly disregarding your employees. You can't, I mean, you can't treat these guys the way that you have treated them when they kneel and show their solidarity with Kaepernick and things like that. You can't treat them the way that you have treated them and still say that you support them. I know about the deal with Malcolm Jenkins and everything like that. That's a whole nother story. But I just feel like you can't paint those guys in the light that they, you can't allow those guys to be painted in the light that they were painted in the media and things like, I mean, the NFL, I mean, not to say that they control what's said about them, but at the same time, the NFL has their own media team as well. They can put out statements and things like that, showing that they're with those guys and they did none of that. In my opinion, none of that was done. And even when Jerry Jones like kneeled with his whole time, I felt like that was just more of an appearance thing, and it backfired on him. And now he never wants anybody on his team to kneel again because that shit didn't appear right to people. And so it just rubs me the wrong way. And this is one of the reasons I haven't been talking about the NFL, because I'm not even sure I fully support the NFL and what they've been doing lately. You know, and how they approach and how they approach running their league and how they've been just managing their situations lately. Like it's unfortunate, man. I love football. I mean, my dad used to take me and my dad used to hit every Raider game for when we were good, you know, like we used to hit every Raider game, you know, and I love football, and it's just unfortunate now that I'm older and I'm able to like look at things and dissect just how things go a little better than I was when I was 12, of course, you know. It's just there's things that really do not sit well with me about this league. And they're like, so, you know, these are things that have been voiced not by me, but by people with a lot more prominence than me, a lot bigger voice and platform than me. And they're just, the NFL is just kind of like, yeah, so what? And so, again, man, it's just one of the reasons I haven't been talking about football, because none of this shit sits well with me. It's one of the reasons I will talk about football, because, again, I love football. I'm probably still going to watch, but I'm just, my interest for football has declined significantly over these past couple years. It's just from the way that I see they treat not only Black people, but Black and brown people, and people who have different opinions from them. You know, like it's like just because we have different opinions, like for example, the NBA, there was probably people in the NBA office, even in the Heat office, who didn't necessarily agree with what LeBron and the team did when they put the hoods on and everything and did the tribute to Trayvon Martin. There was people probably within that did not, you know, necessarily agree with that, but they allow their players to be themselves. They allow their players to express. The NFL does not do that. As soon as Kaepernick took that knee, the NFL turned their back on him, and they have never, in my opinion, they've never set that shit straight, and it just doesn't sit well with me. And the last thing we're going to get into today is just this interview Magic Johnson did today on First Take. Man, did Magic drop some bombs. And it was very interesting. I didn't expect him to be as truthful and open as he was with those guys. Don't get me wrong. I understand. I know that him and Stephen A. are really good friends. But I didn't think that he would be as open about the whole situation with the Lakers as he was. I mean, he made mention of when he got the job, he told Jeannie he runs a lot of other businesses. He'll be in and out sometimes. And she was cool with it. And, you know, I understand that. You know, everybody knows Magic Johnson is an astute businessman, so he's got other things to do sometimes. You know, I definitely understand that. But at some point, it became a problem with Pelinka. That Magic wasn't around all the time. That Magic wasn't around as much. And that puzzles me a little bit my question is, was he on board with this in the first place, or did he always have a problem that Magic wasn't necessarily going to be around? Was it just Jeannie Buss who was cool with that? Another thing he brought up is that the reason he said he felt betrayed is that Pelinka was going around telling people, well, talking bad about him, basically telling people about how, like, how he isn't in the office and stuff like that. Magic said it got to a point where people outside of the Lakers, people he knows outside of basketball, were calling him and telling him that people were talking bad at him, bad about him. And I mean, that's just it. You got to be doing a lot of talking to a lot of people, in my opinion, for it to get the people outside of the organization and get back to Magic. It's just that's crazy to me that there's this much dysfunction in an organization like the Lakers. I mean, you're talking about one of the premier sports organizations in all sports, not just basketball. So it's crazy to me to think that there's this much dysfunction going on in that organization right now. Another thing I wanted to touch on that Magic brought up is that he wanted to fire Luke Walton. He said they had three meetings. Said the first meeting, they basically told him no. The second meeting, they basically told him, okay, cool, you can fire him. Then they came back and told him, no, they want to try to make it work with Luke. And Magic was just, he was not on board with that. He said that was one of the big things, one of the big reasons he left is because now not only are people talking behind his back, but he doesn't have the power that he was told he was going to have. He's supposed to be the final decision maker. As the president of basketball operations, people are supposed to this is what Stephen A. said earlier. I don't want to like act like I made this up or anything like this, but they're supposed to gather the information and bring it to him. And then he makes the final decision, which is what a president of basketball operations usually does. And that's not what was happening at this point. It was like they were gathering all the information and he maybe had a say and maybe didn't have a say. Like that's kind of what I took from it. And it's first off, you don't do your president of basketball operations like that. You don't do Magic Johnson like that either. Like that's the big, I mean, that's the guy, that's one of the legends of your franchise. That might be one of the people, some people consider him the greatest Laker of all time. And you come in and he's treated that way. That doesn't look good for it. I mean, if you'll treat Magic that way, you'll treat anybody that way. That's the way I look at it. You know, like anybody who comes in to be president of basketball operations, you'll treat anybody that way. Another thing he was saying is that there was just too many cooks in the kitchen. They are, I got the list of names that he said. He said Kurt and Linda Rambis, Rob Pelinka, Tim Harris, who runs the business side of things for the Lakers. And he said maybe even Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson may even be talking to Jeannie, you know. And that's crazy to me that there's that many cooks in the kitchen. You can't run an NBA franchise like that. You look at the successful NBA franchises, they aren't run that way. They don't have four or five chefs. You know, they don't have that many people in the kitchen. So it's really eye-opening to see the level of dysfunction going on in the Lakers organization. You got to be blind to not see that there's some type of dysfunction going on there. But I just didn't think he'd be that open. And the things he was saying in the interview, it's just crazy to know that there's that much dysfunction going on in LA, that you bring in Magic Johnson to make decisions and you don't even really let him make decisions like that. It behooves me to think that they are an organization with that great of a history is going down the path that they're going right now. Part of it, I think, is that they are kind of a mom and pop operation in a more of a corporate NBA now. NBA is more corporate than ever, and they are family owned and they're trying to figure it out without the head of the family now. So it was just eye opening to see some of the things he was saying. Stephen A. asked him, you know, did he feel like he needed to tell LeBron or something in that context? And I mean, he basically said no. He made this decision for him based on his own happiness. And I understand that. He did say maybe he could have done it better. He said he doesn't regret it, but he does. I mean, you know, maybe there was other ways to quit. But it's always weird to me how people always ask, well, did you tap in with Bron? Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand. That's LeBron James, man. Like, that's one of the best players to ever step on a basketball court. I totally get it. The respect factor and things like that. But it's always funny to me how people are like, well, did you tap in with Bron? Why you didn't tap in with Bron? Why doesn't Bron know? Like, why didn't you tell Bron? It's like, these are grown-ass men, dude. They don't got to tell LeBron shit. They don't got to tell LeBron nothing, man. Like, that's, they're co-workers. Like, there's a difference between friends and co-workers. Like, so, if you've ever quit a job, if you've had people that you consider, you know, that you were cool with or that you kind of considered your friend, you might have told them beforehand that you were going to quit just because, you know, you guys got that trust. But if you weren't, like, cool with them, then you didn't just, like, go to them telling them your future plans, like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna go get a better job, or I'm going to go quit, or I'm going to do... That's just not how it works in life, period. So it's always funny to me when people say, oh, well, why didn't you tell LeBron? Or why did... Like, dude, because they don't have to. They don't have to tell LeBron. They don't have to tell LeBron a damn thing. Like, and that it's just always funny to me. Now LeBron was on his show, and he said it was just funny that he didn't get a phone call or anything like that. And I understand why he feels like that, because he feels like he has a personal relationship with Magic outside of basketball. He feels like they are friends. So he expected, but LeBron feels like everybody is his friend. What I feel like sometimes he doesn't understand is that some of these people just see him as a co-worker. Some of these people just see him as a colleague. Not everybody sees him as their friend. And not everybody's going to grant him the same respects as they would their friends or people. And everybody said, oh, well, it's just a respect thing. I mean, you can respect LeBron without telling him you quitting your job. Like, that don't mean you don't respect him as a man. That just means you made the decision without telling him. It bothers me. It's always funny to me, man. Like, people, you didn't tap in with LeBron. You didn't tell it was the Kyrie situation. You didn't tell LeBron. You didn't tell LeBron. No, like, why do I have to tell LeBron that I don't want to play for the Cavs anymore? Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that that Kyrie didn't like LeBron or they weren't cool or anything like that. It's just Kyrie's a grown ass man who made his decision on his own. You know, same thing with Magic. Like, we can debate the decision all we want, but ultimately he's a grown ass man who made a decision. Like, that's, you got to live with it. Like, there's nothing. It doesn't mean he doesn't respect anybody. It doesn't mean anything like that. It's just always funny to me how people loop the whole, you didn't tell LeBron with it. You don't respect LeBron, or is there friction between you and LeBron? Like, no, man, I'm just grown. Like, it's always funny to me. And it behooves me that people actually think that that's something that needs to be done. And just the last thing that I want to touch on that Magic was saying, he also brought up Tim Harris. Now, Tim Harris is he's the business guy for the Lakers. Magic was supposed to be the basketball guy. Tim Harris was supposed to be the business guy. But Magic was saying on that last meeting when he wanted to fire Luke Walton, Genie brought in Tim Harris. And that seemed to really rub Magic the wrong way, that Tim Harris was so involved with basketball. On top of people talking about him behind his back, on top of him being promised power that he did not have, you could definitely tell it rubbed him the wrong way a lot that Tim Harris was so involved with was trying to be so involved with the basketball. And he's, like he said, ultimately that when he wanted to bring in Ty Lue, he wanted to fire Luke Walton and bring in Ty Lue. And when he wasn't allowed to do that, he just realized he did not have the power that he thought he did. And ultimately he says that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And so to quote him. And so again, just the whole situation was weird. It was a really good interview, honestly. Like, it was one of the best Magic interviews I've seen. I really did not expect him to be as open and honest with everything as he was. He didn't hold back any punches. He talked about why he traded D'Angelo. Like, he talked about everything. There was no punches. There was no punches hold back. Not to say he was like throwing shots at anybody or anything. He was kind of just telling his truth. But It was really good to see. Really fun interview to watch. I didn't see it live, but I checked it out on YouTube. I definitely advise everybody go check it out. And again, it was amazing to see that interview. And it's amazing to see a story franchise like the Lakers, a respected franchise like the Lakers, a great franchise like the Lakers, has so much dysfunction going on right now. It's crazy to see. It's definitely one of the biggest stories in sports. And I just hope they get it together, man. Cause I mean, I think it's kind of cliche when people say this, but the NBA is better when the Lakers are good. And it's kind of simple as that, you know. We can hate on the Lakers all we want. Like even me sometimes, like, I bask in the fact that the Lakers are bad right now, cause they've been good for so goddamn long. But we can do all that, man. We can talk bad about them and everything. But the fact remains, to me, in my opinion, when franchises like the Lakers are really good, the NBA is at its heights. And with that, we're going to close it out today, folks. I appreciate everybody tuning in. This is No Sleep, Just Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Stevens. I actually just started contributing to a website called Blue Man Hoop. It's a fan-sided website, bluemanhoop.com. You can check out some of my articles on there. You can still check me out on nosleepjustsports.com. We're definitely going to keep the content rolling out on there. And we're going to have another podcast for you Thursday. I'll have my album of the week. I haven't chosen one yet, but I'll definitely have a good album of the week segment for you ready on Thursday. And again, I just appreciate everybody tuning in. Appreciate all the support we've been getting. Follow us on Twitter at NSJS Media. Sorry. Follow us on Instagram at NSJS TV. And again, thanks everybody for tuning in. This is No Sleep, Just Sports Radio.
This is No Sleep, Just Sports Radio.